chapter, the 11th and 12th verses. I read to you a very well-known portion of Scripture. The woman saith unto him, Sir, thou hast nothing to draw with, and the well is deep. From whence then hast thou that living water? Art thou greater than our father Jacob, which gave us the well, and drank thereof himself and his children and his cattle? Jesus answered and said unto her, Whosoever drinketh of this water shall thirst again, but whosoever drinketh of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst. You know the story. The woman that came to the well. You know, our children and our young people in America today miss so much with all the modern conveniences that we have. I can remember as a small boy being so fascinated by wells of water, especially the wide open mouth wells that you drop the bucket down in and you'd have to draw up the water. Now, many of you have never experienced that. I didn't experience it too much. I lived in the city. My wife was raised in the country. And fortunately, we were friends even way back then. And when I'd go out to visit her, they had a well. And to drop the bucket down in that well and pull it up. And it tasted, oh, so good, the well water. But that's in the bygone days. Now you turn the hydrants on and the taps on and the water comes out and you don't know where it comes from and it may be all right and it may not be all right. Amen. Praise God. And even the wells may be contaminated. But I'm nevertheless still fascinated by the wells of water. But our young people miss all of that because ours is the space age. Some have gone to the moon. Yeah, a long ways from Wales. Our vocabulary has been enlarged to include spaceships and astronauts and lunar buggies and shuttles and blast-offs and countdowns and all of that stuff. And we are now in the computer age, where you have programs and floppy disks and hard disks and silicone chips and bytes and megabytes. It's a long ways from the wells. We're in the electronic age that includes radar and television and video and satellites and international subscriber dialing. And you don't even know what that is, perhaps, but let me tell you what it is. I was in Bangkok, Thailand, about a year ago, and I needed to call back to the States, and they have what's called international subscriber dialing. And so you dial 001 to get the international subscriber dialing access code. You dial the country code number, then you dial the area code, and then the city number. Then you dial the called party number. And this instruction says, after you've dialed all these numbers, if a connection tone is not heard approximately 30 seconds after dialing, hang up and redial. Amen. Now, here's the numbers again. 0-0-0-1-1-3-1-4-8-3-7-7-3-0-0. And if you don't get a connection in 30 seconds, now remember, that's coming all the way from Bangkok to Hazelwood, Missouri. It figures out of all the millions of phones the exact phone that I have dialed, and if it doesn't ring in 30 seconds, hang up and redial it again. Hey, that's smart. Amen. Amen. I don't understand it. I'll never understand it. But we human beings have fathomed into the depths of the earth, and we've learned its secrets. We have explored the heavens, and we know the distances of the stars in light years, not just in miles. And to get to the Andromeda galaxy, you will have to travel 1.5 million years at 11 million miles a minute. Now, they figured all that out. But you're not in this service tonight for me to talk about all these things that I don't even understand. Amen. But Jesus met a woman at the well. And he said, "Give me a drink." And she said, "How is it you, being a Jew, askest drink of me?" And he said, "If thou knewest who it is that saith to thee, 'Give me to drink,' thou would have asked of him, and he would have given thee living water." And she said, "Sir, thou hast nothing to draw with, and the well is deep." Now, Jacob's well is deep. If you've ever been to Israel, and you've ever visited Jacob's well, it's still there. It's over 100 feet deep. You drop a pebble, and you can count to 10 before it splashes in the water below. That's how deep Jacob's well that this woman was talking about. That's how deep it is. "You have nothing to draw with," the woman said to Jesus, "and the well is deep." Now, can you imagine a woman of the world who was, by all figuring and estimating, ignorant of anything spiritual? A woman of the world telling Jesus, the Creator of all things, He who made the well, that he has nothing to draw with? Amen. Well, the world in its computer age, in its space age, in its electronic age, in its long distance dialing age, that has fathomed so much, dares to come to the church. Dares to come to Children of the King. Dares to come to the 1988 camp meeting in Metro New York City. And says to us, "The well is deep, friend. And you don't have anything to draw with." My God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. They don't know what they're talking about. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. They know how to put a man on the moon, and they're rolling the shuttle out, hoping that the O-rings are going to hold. Amen. They may know what they're talking about. But oh, when they come into the spiritual realm, hey, we go far past the sun, the moon, and the stars. Hallelujah. Praise God. We go out there where they'll never be able to understand. And yet they come to us and say, "The well is deep, friend. You have nothing to draw with." Amen. All that this world has is reason. Amen. And reason is not sufficient. Amen. Praise God. Praise God. That's where Cain got into trouble. I say that's where Cain got into trouble. He reasoned that he should bring a sacrifice of fruit and of vegetables. Beautiful, beautiful. Oh, yeah, nothing more beautiful than fruit. Fruit. He reasoned that he could get by with that. Amen. His mind said, hey, God will accept that. Amen. All he had was reason. But the sacrifice that God accepted was not reasoned out. It was given by revelation. And Abel brought the bloody, dripping, bloody sacrifice that was accepted of God. Reason can't figure it out, friend, but revelation goes into the depths and draws a bucket after bucket after bucket. Amen, amen, amen. Praise God. I don't know how God's going to work, but I can tell you what, we've got the bucket to drop in the Spirit. Amen, that can get the job done if we'll use it. I bring you tonight to the edge of a deep well. And reason, your mind stands baffled and looks into its depths. Amen. Your mind says you can't get to the bottom. But I can tell you that Psalm says, deep calleth unto deep. And again he said, these see the works of the Lord and his wonders in the deep. Then Habakkuk says, the mountains saw thee, and they trembled, the overflowing of the water passed by. The deep uttered his voice and lifted up his hands on high. Then Paul wrote in Romans and said, oh, the depth of the riches, both of the wisdom and knowledge of God, how unsearchable are his judgments and his ways past finding out. Ooh, hallelujah! 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 How unsearchable! Amen. 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 Praise God. The world can't figure it out. But Paul went on to say, eye hath not seen, ear hath not heard, it hath not entered into the heart or the mind. Amen. The things that God has prepared for them that love Him. But He has revealed them unto us. We have a bucket. We have something to draw with. He has revealed them unto us. By His Spirit. Oh, let's get out of the carnal. Let's get out of the flesh. Let's get into the Spirit. In the chat meeting, let's draw a bucket out of the depths of the well that the world says we cannot draw out of. Amen. Now, if you're waiting to get into this message with me, I'm just about through. That means if you're going to get in, you better get in. Hallelujah. 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 You know, I'm going to go a little longer. Amen. The depths. Oh, the depths. Man, I want you to see something with me. Before every earthquake, before every volcano, all the birds and the animals in the area of the earthquake or the volcano sense impending danger and they'll flee. I don't know how, but they'll run before that earth ever gives its first shake. They sense it and they'll run away. Before that volcano ever spews out its first bit of lava, they're gone. Somehow or other, they get away for the most part. But he doesn't just do that for the birds and the animals. The wise men that came to see Jesus as a babe in Bethlehem were warned of God in a dream that they should not return to Herod. And they went home a different way. They fled. The angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream and told him to take the young child and his mother and flee into Egypt. And they knew nothing about the decree that Herod had made. They felt and sensed and was warned of God that things were about to happen that would endanger, that would take them, and God sent them in different directions. Praise God. Praise God. I'm here to tell you tonight that God has a way of letting us sense impending doom and impending danger. You tonight have the sensibility of sin and ability to feel it near. Amen. A warning light flashes and tells you to keep your distance to certain people and to certain situations. You can almost smell evil. Long before the radar, you had one. You can feel it about books. Don't read that book. You can feel it about pictures. Don't look at that picture. It'll do something to you. It'll get you in its hold, and you cannot get away from it. You can sense it in amusements. Amen. This is not for you. You will proceed at your own risk. You may not be able to explain how you feel it, but something on the inside of you, like the animals that run before an earthquake, like the birds that fly away before a volcano spews, there is danger. Your brain is not the wisest part of you, and you're not saved by your cleverness. The world by wisdom knew not God. Hallelujah. Praise God. Praise God. So God wanted His church to have something that would give them more than the scientists and the economists and the politicians, more than the wisest of Einsteins and whoever. And so He places in the church, with all the many other things, He gives us the 9 gifts of the Spirit. Praise God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Because you see, there are going to be times when you're going to have a bucket. Amen. You can't figure it out. You can't understand it. Somebody said, oh, that person must have the gift of knowledge. They teach so well. Hey, it's not something you get out of a book. It's not something you learn at a desk in a schoolroom. The supernatural gifts of God are supernaturally endowed. And God imparts a bit of knowledge to you through the gift of the word of knowledge that you could not get from anybody anywhere. And along with it, the gift of the word of wisdom as to what to do with it. So He gives you a bucket to draw out of the depths with all of the 9 gifts of the Spirit. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Amen. And we're going to need them in these days and times. The word of wisdom, the word of knowledge, the discerning of spirits. My God, there's so many things that are so closely look-alikes to the real. Until you've got to have the gift of the discerning of spirits. Not the gift of suspicion, but the discerning of spirits. Then the gifts of faith, the gifts of healing, and the gift of miracles. Praise God, the gift of prophecy, the gift of tongues and interpretation. Amen. Not to be used wrongly, but to use to drop into the depths of God's great well and draw out of them. Hallelujah. Ananias and Sapphira came in, and the gift of the word of knowledge dropped into Peter. And he said, why has Satan filled thine heart to lie?
He didn't know they were lying, but the word of knowledge was working. Amen, 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 amen. When Paul was on that boat and that boat was shipwrecked and are about to be shipwrecked, and the storm was raging and the men were despairing of their lives, the Apostle Paul walked very calmly in and among them and said, "Be of good cheer." Hallelujah. He wasn't wise in shipping. He wasn't wise in sailing. He knew nothing about how to do with the sails or what to do with a boat in the midst of a storm. But there was an angel that stood by him. Amen. Amen. Praise God. And said, "There's not going to be a one on this boat lost as long as I remain in the boat." Ah, that's deep. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Praise God, praise God. And I bring you to the mouth of a deep well again. You don't live in the world in which you appear to live. Let me say that again. You don't live in the world in which you appear to live. I know you live here in the New York City area or somewhere nearby, and you know all about the intricacies of this area, or at least a lot about it. But though you live in one of the biggest, most populated areas of the world, you live in a bigger world in which you appear to live. Let me tell you that. King of Syria sent a great host of horses and chariots and circled the city where Elisha was. And Elisha's servant rose early and went out and saw that the city was circled. He came with great fear to Elisha. And Elisha didn't go out to see what he reported that he saw. Elisha fell down and prayed and said, "Lord, open his eyes that he may see." Amen. And when God opened his eyes, he saw a different world than the one he lived in. Because his natural eyes saw the enemy. But when his eyes were spiritually opened, when he dropped his bucket in the well, he saw that the mountains were full of horses and chariots of fire round about Elisha. Oh, yes. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Hey, folks. I know a lot of the depth of God by having experienced it. But there's something new tonight that I need to drop my bucket into. The world says you can't. You don't have anything to draw with. I'm telling you that we've got something to draw with. They're looking on and they're hearing our noise and they're saying those folks are out of their mind. Oh yeah, but we've got the mind of Christ. Yeah. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Stephen was surrounded by an infuriated mob. He was not even conscious that they were there. For the scripture said, "But he, being full of the Holy Ghost, looked up steadfastly into heaven and saw the glory of God." Hallelujah. And Jesus standing on the right hand of God. I was standing in the great tabernacle in Bogota, Colombia, South America, where 5,000 packed into a tabernacle smaller than could accommodate such a crowd, but they were packed in. They were worshiping, they were worshiping, they were worshiping. And I couldn't help but look out and watch them as they worshiped. It was something I had never seen the like before. And as I watched and looked and also worshiped as I was watching, the missionary came over to me and said, "Brother Benton, do you see what I am seeing?" And I looked again and I saw it. She didn't have to tell me what it was. The blue, thin wisp of smoke as it floated over the heads of the worshipers. It wove itself in and out. I was seeing the Shekinah glory of God. Hallelujah. 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 I live in a bigger world than what it appears that I live in. I may not see the thin wisp of blue smoke over your head, but it's not because it isn't there. I just haven't dropped my bucket in right. And if I ever drop it in right, hallelujah. This is not mysticism. This is not far-fetched. Amen. I'm telling you that the angels of the Lord encamp around about them that fear Him. Hallelujah! Praise God! Praise God! Amen! 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 Hallelujah. Stephen said, "I see Jesus." I don't know what all is going to happen in this several days and nights of meetings. But I'm telling you, the world that says you don't have anything to draw with, they don't know what they're talking about. It's deep. It's deeper than the space shuttle. It's deeper than the computer age. It's deeper than anything that man has ever contrived. Hallelujah. It's eternity. It's eternal. Hallelujah. That was the reason why Paul said, "When I was a child, I spake as a child. I understood as a child. I thought as a child." Notice he enumerated all of it. When I was a child, I spake, I understood, I thought. I talked, I understood, and I thought. But when I became a man, put away childish things. Amen. Hey world, you're childish. Praise God. Amen. When you become aware of the deep things, you scorn the shallow. Hallelujah. When you have had the best, you develop a taste. An expanded mind can never be shrunk. And my mind is expanding by the minute. Oh, when I think of the goodness of Jesus and all that He has done for me, my soul cries out. Praise God for saving me. When you started to school, they gave you a reader, and you read in big block letters, "Run, Dick, run." You turned a page or two and you read, "See, Dick, run." excited you were. Then you turned a few pages, then you read, "Run, Jane, run." And you turned a few more pages, and you read, "See, Jane, run." That's where the world is. Hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. My God. Can you imagine Columbus that discovered America enjoying sailing paper boats in a pond? After he had crossed the ocean in a ship. Hey, quit sailing your paper boats. Amen. We got ships. God, my God. Can you imagine Sir Christopher Wren? Greatest architect that England ever knew, designed and built St. Paul's Cathedral. The Queen came to see it when it was all finished. She said it was awful. Now that's, of course, before the English meaning of the word changed. Because awful in those days meant awe-inspiring. You know, we still say we have an awful good time. Back in those days, she came and she said, "It's awe-inspiring." Can you imagine Sir Christopher Wren enjoying flying kites after he had built St. Paul's Cathedral? Hey, folks, the well is deep. Are you going to enjoy just looking down when you've got something to draw with? We're in a meeting that's designed to be supernatural. Where healings take place. Deliverance takes place. Miracles take place. Holy Ghost is outpoured. Are you going to sit back and just say, "See, Jane, run"? My God, my God, my God. The Philistines was on one side and the Israelites was on the other. And the giant Goliath was on the side with the Philistines and the armies of the Israelites were just doing nothing. When David came out to bring his brothers some food, he said, "What's going on? No fight." "Oh, that giant is challenging. The one that goes against him has got to win, or we'll have to be the servants to the Philistines." David said, "I'll go. I'll go." The word got to King Saul that he was one willing to go. And when David stood before him, he said, "Well, you can't go. You're too young." It's like the woman at the well. "Hey, you can't do that. You don't have anything to draw with." David said, "Wait a minute. Wait a minute, Saul. I've drawn out of that well before. You see, I killed a lion and a bear. In the name of the Lord, I'll go." "Well, if you're going, put this armor on." You see, there was still skepticism. Well, to satisfy Saul, he put the armor on. But he didn't keep it on. quickly took it, put it aside. He said, I can't even stand up in it, much less walk. I'm going out there just like I am. But I'm going out there in a sense and in a way that you know nothing about. I'm going in the name of the Lord. And I can almost hear Saul as David runs across the field. Saul was saying, see, David, run. Yeah. Oh, Saul, king of Israel, reading in the primer, see, David, run. He ran all right. Amen. And that's as far as Saul got. Amen. That's as far as he could read. But he went out there in the name of the Lord, and with he drew that sling back and let go of that one shot. It hit the mark. And the giant fell. My God, my God, my God, my God, my God, my God. Hallelujah. 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 Amen. Saul really thought he would run. But he came back. And instead of everybody saying, see, David, run, they were singing, Saul has slain his thousands, but David his tens of thousands. When I was a child, I spake as a child, I understood as a child, I thought as a child. But when I became a man, I put away childish things. Praise God. There is a spirit here tonight that's ministering to you who have needs that's beyond human understanding. I don't know how that God is going to meet your needs, but I know He has a way. And if we'll get into the channel of His ministering to us, we can see great things happen, because we do stand at the edge of a deep well, but we have something to draw with. Part of the United States of America was brought before the Supreme Court justice, and they said no more praying or Bible reading in the schools. There was a principal of a high school that said, yes, we will continue with prayer and Bible reading. I heard this testimony personally. You may have heard it, but I heard it personally. In this particular school where the principal said we're going to have prayer and Bible reading, there was a group of atheists that knew they could not go in and demand it being stopped. So they got together and they went in to the principal and said, we demand equal rights or equal time. Give us the time to talk to this student body on the other side of the matter. The principal knew he could not refuse. He kept on with his prayer and Bible reading, and the day came when he was going to give them an assembly to tell the student body the other side. So they chose their greatest orator and sent him out to that school, and the student body filed in to that auditorium and sat there while that man, that atheist, talked to them for 1 hour on the subject, there is no God. He was so skilled and so articulate until you could see those students just melting and falling into his hands. It was something to see. So he saw he was turning the tide. He was getting the job done. And he was filled with such satisfaction as he closed his 1 hour lecture and turned and walked back to sit down. And just before the principal stood to dismiss the student body, And the principal was so affected by what he saw. He was so confused. He saw the student body was so overwhelmed by the oration of this man. But just before he could dismiss them, there was a Pentecostal young lady sitting in the back, not noted for ever singing. But she stood to her feet with her eyes closed, trembling, not from fear, but because of an unusual anointing. And she threw her head back and she began to sing, "I shall know Him. I shall know Him. As redeemed by His side, I shall stand." And the tide turned the other way. The well is deep. She had something to draw with. "I shall know Him. I shall know Him. As redeemed by His side, I shall stand. I shall know Him by the prints of the nails in His hands." And when she got that far, the student body that had been swayed by the oration of the atheist was now wiping tears, for they were broken. And the student body and the teachers joined together as they sang it again, and the atheist slipped off of the platform, for they had drawn out of a deep well something that he didn't know anything about. I'm closing. Let me tell you, I've been raised in Pentecost. My wife and I have had the baptism for 48 years. Wonderful. Never cease to be amazed at the move of the Spirit. But as a young boy sitting on the front seat, when the pastor would say, "Everybody that'll help us sing, come on to the choir," there would be a mad rush to the choir. They knew if the Spirit was going to move anywhere, it was going to move in the choir. They didn't have anybody to get out there and lead them. The pianist didn't know anything about evangelistic style piano playing. It was the four notes: the bass, the tenor, the alto, and the soprano. Plonk. And the one with the loudest voice would start off the chorus. Amen. I sat as a boy on that seat. Amen. Everybody sang soprano. Some high soprano and some low soprano. Amen. But when they sang, "Jesus, hold my hand," I can still see them as they raised their hands. And it wasn't a figment of their imagination. They just simply believed that if they asked Him to hold their hand, He'd do it. And what they felt was the hand of the Savior. And that hand that they felt would so electrify them. They didn't know much about this world's goods. They didn't have much of this world's goods. But they had something deeper. And they would go parading off of that choir singing, "Jesus, hold my hand. I need Thee every hour. Through this pilgrim land, protect And when they'd get to that power, my God, it would be all over them. They'd be trembling, they'd be shaking, they'd be running, they'd be dancing. Amen. They was drawing out of a well that was so deep that those looking on that didn't know anything about it didn't know where it was coming from. But they knew they had in touch with another world, a bigger world than what it appeared they lived in. It was an ethereal world of the Spirit. Praise God. Praise God. Well, there are many that could march up to us tonight like the woman at the well and say, "Hey, this well is deep. You don't have anything to draw with." And we could say, "Hey, you don't know what you're talking about." We're already drawing waters out of the wells of salvation. Praise God. We're drawing already. Over and over and over and over and over and over and over. Hey, don't stay in the same rut. Don't stay in the same mold. Amen. There are going to be moves of the Spirit as it's already here tonight. It's going to transport you into another level. If this camp meeting is not designed with that in mind, then it's not designed right. You've got to leave here different than when you came. And you don't have to wait till the last night. You don't have to wait till this night is over. If you are hungry and thirsty, there is something to draw with. The Spirit of God. His heads are bowed and eyes are closed. God. The world looks on those who are in the Spirit and says, these are drunk. Yeah. See, Dick, run. Peter said, no, these aren't drunk. But this is that was spoken of by the prophet Joel, saying, in the last days I will pour out of my Spirit upon all flesh. This is the Spirit. These are not drunk as you suppose.